Last night in a dream I took a journey. I was trembling as I stood among the crowd. Some said, crucify him. Others mocked and laughed. Not one soul came forward to speak on his behalf. I found myself drawn to this stranger, and I saw such compassion in his eyes. He said the debt you owed will soon be covered when the Lamb of God is crucified. That's why they call it grace. That's why they call it mercy. And the tears ran down my face, for I am undeserving. The one caught heaven's glory, he reached through time and space. He took my guilt and died there in my place. That's why they call, that's why they call it grace. Then I awakened from my dream.
That's why the psalmist said concerning grace, he said in Psalms 103:12, he says, as far as the east is from the west, has God removed our sins from us. It's a long ways. Now, I'm not real good with geography, but I know if you're going that way and that way at the same time, you're getting further and further and further apart. And so that is the forgiveness by his blood. It is truly grace. It's undeserved. And it's his mercy, and we're going to look at a little bit of that this morning as we look at the first Passover. And if you're able to stand for the reading of God's Word, the title of the message this morning is The First Passover. And we're going to be in Exodus chapter 12. And let's read. I'm not going to cover all these verses for time's sake, but I want you to get it into context. So let's read the first 12 verses of Exodus 12. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. Verse 4. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. Powerful verse. Verse 7. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Do not eat it raw nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. Verse 10. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Now let's end with verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. God, this morning, we pray, Lord, that you would remind us of that Passover day when you died on the cross for our sins. And 3 days later, you were resurrected to give eternal life, to forgive us our sins as far as the east is from the west. Lord, we thank you for the blood, and we thank you for your body. In Jesus' name, amen. When we take the Lord's Supper, it's to bring us back to remembrance of what Jesus did for us at the cross. And I have in my office this picture right here. I don't know if y'all can tell what the picture is. Cliff, can you tell what that is? Well, it is, but it was a long time ago. This is my family picture. Looks like Madeline is probably about a year and a half, 2 years old. And Caitlin would have been 10 years older than that, so she would have been about 12 and a half years old. And we took this picture, and I keep it in my office as a memory, or to bring to remembrance my family. And always keep it in my office, except for today. It's in here right now. And but it's a memory. And so whenever we take of the Lord's Supper, it reminds us of what Jesus did at the cross. In fact, he said, as often as you do this, do this in remembrance of me. Why? He wants us to remember and never forget. So today in heaven, if you could be in heaven today, I just got a feeling that you would see a smile on the Lord's face because we are taking the Lord's Supper today. I just would imagine he's looking over at maybe Peter and Paul, or maybe one of our relatives, or maybe some angels, and he's saying, hey, look there at Mount Sylvan. They're remembering me today. They hadn't forgot the cross. They remember me today. And I got a feeling that Satan doesn't like it. And he probably looks at the devil and says, hey, they're remembering me today. They have not forgot the cross. And so the first Passover, look at chapter 12. And I want to show you a few things. And I'm going to move rather quickly through these main points so you can write them down. But the first one is this. The first Passover was to defeat the enemy. It was to defeat the enemy. And so just to catch you up to context, by the time we get right here to chapter 12, remember that God has already brought 9 plagues upon Egypt, and Pharaoh is still refusing to let God's people Israel go. Now they've been in bondage, according to Genesis chapter 15, it was prophesied, and they've been in bondage for 400 years. And the Bible says that God's going to deliver them. He had a covenant and he had a promise that he would deliver them. Now Pharaoh is a type of Satan, and Moses is a type of Christ. He's a deliverer sent from above by God to deliver his people Israel. And that Israel is a picture of the saved, the born again, the Christians. They're a picture of that. God chose them. God set them aside. God worked miracles in their behalf, and God led them. And that's exactly what he does to us when we believe in Jesus. And so here's Pharaoh, and he's using all of Israel to be his task, to be his slaves. And he says, no, I'm not letting them go. And so God brings another plague. No, I'm not letting them go. But by the way, the Bible says that God would harden his heart. And you know why? That his wonders, this is what the Bible says, that his wonders might be multiplied. But you know, there was only one thing, all nine of those plagues, and you can remember the plagues. By the way, do y'all remember the show Charlton Heston was in, The Ten Commandments? Man, I loved that show. Let my people go. And he would declare. And you get to the end, and the Red Sea would part, and they crossed the Red Sea. Well, nine plagues have come, and Pharaoh still refuses to let his people go. But there is a plague by blood. That was the tenth plague, and Satan was defeated by the blood. Satan could not challenge the innocent blood because it was accepted on God's behalf, and there was not enough Pharaohs, there was not enough Egypts in the whole wide world to prevent God's people from going out by the plague of blood. Now, that's real important. It was Satan's defeat. The Bible says, now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be the beginning of months. Now, whenever they heard that, they knew something big is about to take place. Now, they had several days. They had about 4 days to get ready for this plague to come. And I can just imagine, I can just see them as they're weighing out what they're going to do. Well, I've been told that we got to put some blood on our doorpost and on our lintels. And if we'll put that blood on the doorpost, I've been told that the firstborn will be protected from the death angel. And so they would begin to share that. And I just wonder how many of them said, you know, I'm not going to do that. That's just nonsense. It doesn't make sense. How in the world can some blood from a dead sheep keep me safe? How in the world can some blood from an innocent lamb protect me and save me and keep me from dying? There were some that probably didn't believe. But then there was those that said, you know what? I've just watched nine miracles take place. I've just seen frogs like I ain't never seen frogs before. I've seen flies and lice. I've seen rivers turn to blood. I've seen a lot of things happening. I think I'm going to trust the Word of God. And if He says so, I think I'm going to believe it. I would too. And so those that obeyed saw the defeat of the enemy. They saw his defeat. Now, Satan had to be shaking whenever the death angel came through the land that night. And that death angel comes through the land, and he passes up all the houses that had the blood, and the Lord is protecting and saving those behind the blood. And Satan's like, uh-oh, I think he might have been right about what he said about Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. That's the first time you see the gospel, that there is a seed that is coming. And that blood that was used right there in Egypt was a signal, and it pointed all the way, thousands of years later, it pointed all the way up to the cross of Jesus Christ. And the devil knew that his defeat would be in a Lamb of God. And that's exactly what took place. Colossians 1:20 says, for by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, heaven made peace through the blood of his cross. We have peace with God because of the blood. If you don't have peace with God, it's the blood that brings peace with God. It's the blood. He says, you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, he says, yet now he is reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. That's powerful. Satan through Pharaoh was no match for what God did with the blood. But it's not only Satan's defeat, it also is to bring deliverance. It's so that they could have deliverance. They needed not only the enemy defeated, they needed to be delivered out of Egypt. They needed to go from point A to point B. And listen, whenever we take of the Lord's Supper, that Passover, by the way, they took of the Passover, and you remember what happened? After that plague of blood, after the firstborn that was behind the blood, they survived, they live, and then they go out with God's favor. They begin journeying early the next morning out of Egypt. And remember what happened? They were being delivered by God. I mean, they were asking for articles of gold and silver, and the Egyptians are just handing it to them. The Bible says God showed them favor. Listen, the cross is to show you favor. Jesus died on the cross to show you love. He died on the cross not only to show his love, the Bible says it was demonstrated there, but he died on the cross so that he could give you his love. Jesus wants to give you his favor. He wants to deliver you from the bondage and the sin of the world, from the wicked one. He wants the wicked one defeated in your life so that he can deliver you into the land of promise. That's the whole picture. And so Jesus came that we might be delivered. And so whenever we take of the Lord's Supper, think of it like this. In the first Passover, they said, do this, make it the beginning of your months, and do it as a memorial. And when your children ask and they say, why are we doing this? They were to tell them, because God came by a mighty miracle and he delivered us by blood and he took us out of Egypt. And now we are in the land and headed to the land of freedom. Why? Because Jesus, because God, the Lamb, came and delivered us. That's the picture. And so when we think of the Lord's Supper today, it's like our 4th of July when we celebrate it. It's where our independence was declared. It means that whenever we take of the cup and of the bread, we're saying, you know what, Lord? I agree with your testimony. I believe your testimony. You said I am the way, the truth, and the life. I agree with that. You said I am the good shepherd. I agree with that. You said I am the bread of life. God, I agree with that. You said I am the light of the world. I agree with that. And so when we take of the Lord's Supper, we're saying, I believe your testimony, Lord. And I believe it, and I remember you. It's like looking at that family picture. Lord, as I take this bread and I take this cup, I'm going to remind myself that Satan was defeated on my behalf by you. I'm going to remember that I have been delivered by you. It doesn't mean that we won't wrestle with sin as long as we're in these bodies, because that's the war of the flesh. Romans 7 talks about that. We're going to always have this war as long as we're in this body. But as we feed upon the Lord daily and as we grow in the Lord, what happens is the Bible says, draw nigh unto God and he will flee from you. And as we draw near to the Lord, the devil begins to flee. He goes and he looks for other targets. And so it's really important that we understand what it means to have that defeat and to have that deliverance. But then there's a third one, is to be remembered. It's to be remembered. When we take of the Lord's Supper, we're remembering the Lord. You know, it's interesting. Jesus said in John 6:35, he says, Jesus answered and said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. The Bible says in Matthew 5:6, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. In the first Passover, whenever Israel was held captive in Egypt for 4 centuries, 400 years, there they are. They're hungry for God. You say, how do you know they're hungry for God? Because the Bible says in Exodus that God heard their groanings and he heard their cries. Why did he hear them? Because they were crying out to God for deliverance. They were saying, Lord, do you not see our predicament? God, there's nothing we can do for ourselves. There's no way we can help ourselves out of our predicament. They needed help from above. You and I have to have help from above. It is absolutely impossible for you and I to save ourselves. That's why God sent his only son, his only begotten son. And that's why Jesus died on the cross, because we needed help from above. And Jesus is saying, remember me. Proclaim me. Remember what I did for you. Because it's powerful. He did not die a vain death. He died, in fact, Paul called it the power of the gospel. He died so that he could bless us, those that thirst. He gives us spiritual drink to drink. It's a drink that quenches your thirst. For those that are hungry for help and for freedom and for love and for forgiveness, he says, feed on me and I'll show you that forgiveness. And so how do we do that? When we repent of our sins and we ask Jesus to forgive us of all of our sins, what are we doing? We're admitting to God that, God, I am a failure. God, I cannot get it right. God, I cannot save myself. And we're saying, Lord, all I can do is hide behind the blood. And then when we do that, Jesus said, that's what I wanted to hear. And that's when Jesus answers our prayer. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we call on Him, and I mean He comes into our heart. And He wants to change us, and He says, I sanctify them by Thy Word. Thy Word, listen, the Word of God is like soap. It cleans us up. The Word of God is what changes our heart. It's what helps us to follow the Lord. It is getting the voice of the Lord into our heart. And it's hard to understand. The Bible's not easy to understand. If it was really easy to understand, there wouldn't be any need of commentators and scholars. But it's hard to understand. But as we feed on the Word, it gets easier to understand. That's the way it works. And so here they were. They were hungry for help. They were thirsty for somebody that cared. And Jesus fulfilled both. I want to point out a few parallels real quickly before we take of the Lord's Supper. The first one is this. In our first few verses, it talks about their beginning of months in Exodus 12. He says, this month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. He said, speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, now watch this, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. Now, the Lord is saying that on the 10th, go get your lamb. And He's going to tell them that you can go all the way to verse 6, and He says, now you shall keep that lamb, or you shall keep it until the 14th day. So we know what that is, 11, 12, 13, 14, that's 4 days. He said, you go get that lamb for your household. And He says, you get it on the 10th. Don't go get it on the 9th. Get it on the 10th. And then you keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. So here's what He's telling them. He's saying, guys, go find your lamb for your household. He's saying, now watch it. Don't get it on the 9th. Don't get it on the 11th. Get it on the 10th. Watch that lamb, and watch that lamb for 4 days. And then all of you, at twilight, at evening, I want you to kill your lamb. Now, that's exactly what they did. Jesus Christ comes into town. 4 days later, He's being examined, by the way. He's in Jerusalem. Remember, He cleanses the temple. He does all kinds of things. And then on Friday, He has 4 days that He is tested as a lamb without spot or blemish. And then on Friday, He is crucified. And He dies for our sins on Friday. Now, it's interesting because the lamb had to be without blemish. Jesus Christ was out without blemish. Remember when He was brought before Pilate? And Pilate said, you can write this in your notes in Luke 23:4. Pilate says, I find no fault in this man. By the way, Pilate said that many times, not just once. He said, I find no fault in this man. I've examined this man. I can't find a blemish. I've examined this man. He's innocent. I've examined this man. Now, it's real important that Pilate did that because it was fulfillment of Scripture. It was the type of Exodus coming true in Christ. And remember, God made sure of it. He made sure that Pilate would find Jesus as the innocent Lamb of God. Remember, even his wife had a dream. And his wife said, I have suffered many things in a dream concerning this man. Have nothing to do with him. Eventually, Pilate washes his hands and says, I wash my hands of this man's innocent blood. Then we get to the blood itself. The blood was to be put on the two doorposts. The door, listen, this is, do not miss this. This is so important. When you put the blood on the doorpost, the blood was not put on the inside of the house of the door. The blood was put on the outside of the house so that those walking down the street could see the blood. It was an open confession of Jesus Christ. Those who believed, you could not help but to know they believed. Why? Because blood was on the doorpost and on the lintels. Some have even said that whenever you strike with the hyssop, the blood on this side, and then turn and strike this side, that you form, in essence, a cross on the door. But that blood was placed there. Now, the owner or whoever placed the blood there, the father of the house, whoever it was, how did they get in that house? They had to put the blood on it, and then they had to walk through the blood into the house. They had to enter into the protection of God and the salvation of God by blood. Jesus said in John 10:9, he said, I am the door. He said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, listen, that's the picture. If anyone enters by me, the good shepherd could not be the good shepherd unless he gave his life for his friends. That's what the good shepherd does. And Jesus died, and the blood is applied to our door, and we enter into the door of the Lord, into the door by faith, by blood. And he says, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. So the blood was an open confession to everybody that passed by. Now, why was it the firstborn? The Bible says that it was the firstborn that would die. Because the firstborn was a picture of those who were born under Adam. And when we're born again, that's the second birth. That's the new birth by blood. And so we're fixing to take the Lord's Supper here in just a moment. And I want you to take that in remembrance of what the Lord did. I can just see it. And I want to ask our servants if y'all will go ahead and be coming forward. And I can just see it. I can just see the Lord as he looks at you. And you have Christ in your heart. And he says, Bruce, thanks for remembering me. Cliff, thanks for remembering me today as you take of the Lord's Supper. Keith, thanks for remembering me today. Would you remember Jesus today as you take of the cup and of the bread?